Welcome, and thank you for listening in to this message from Cross and Crown Baptist Church. We hope the following message will be a great blessing and encouragement to you. More messages from the pulpit of Cross and Crown Baptist Church are available weekly from our website at www.crossandcrownbaptist.org. We invite you to open your Bible and your heart for the preaching of God's holy word.
Are you hearing me? People are begging for them. They're sharing. They don't have them. The new converts, they can't just give them out like you got to give out John and Romans. Praise the Lord, we do get to do that here. But they can't do that. They don't have enough. So I get through. He's like, let's hurry. And he was as nervous as a cat. He's like, well, any second they're going to realize they made a mistake and they're going to stop us. Come on, let's go, let's go. So he grabs one of my carts and went, getting out the door. And man, we got him in the car and he's like still, you know, zoom, trying to get away. But it was the Lord. Are you hearing me? Amen. God allowed and blessed, and we got to take them to service. I got to hand those Bibles to some people that didn't have one, that were some were already believers that knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and a few that did not but were hungry for the Scriptures. And by the way, when I was here in September, you gave $300 to help my missions trip, so you're a part of all that that I just told you. Seriously, I'd be happier if I was that. You're a part of all that. And some people got saved. Some Muslim people trusted Christ while we were there. It's just a big deal. It's a huge, huge deal. And those folks are hungry. I've been to Morocco twice, and the same thing, similar with the young men, especially 19 to 25, just so excited. And I'm so glad I know Jesus as my Savior. I am not ashamed. Brother Chris, you are my brother. I do not have to kill myself to please my God anymore. I have the real, true God. And it's exciting. But, you know, we go through things like that, and still God provides, and still we stop. We quit. We back off. We kind of go half-hearted. We decide, well, I'm doing enough. Or you get older, which I've known many pastors like this. Yours is not. I've known many pastors at a certain age. They just decide to coast. I call them glider preachers. They just let go of the engine, and they're just gliding. Cut the cable, and they're just, yeah, I know those songs. Yeah, I know those scriptures. Yeah, I won people to Christ. Yeah, I had a good ministry. Now I'm just gliding to the end. That's not biblical. How many of you know somebody that a year ago, they were faithful to the Lord, they were in church, maybe going soul winning, maybe giving to missions, and they've backed off, and they're not doing that so much anymore? Raise your hand. Most of you. How many of you know somebody 5 years ago, they were faithful in church and they're not now? Raise your hand. Who decides who those people are? Who decides which ones do that and which ones remain faithful? I had the privilege of knowing Brother Lee Robertson. He had Highland Park Baptist Church, Tennessee Temple Schools. He died when he was 96. He never missed a day. And you know what he got to say? Same thing as the Apostle Paul. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Would you like to say that when you get done? Or would you want to say, man, I wasted the last 20 years. Man, I wish I'd stayed on board. Man, I wish I kept serving God. Which do you want? I'm going to say this very bluntly and gently, but you're the only one that decides. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, I was faithful, Lord, but the pastor we had, he just didn't feed me like he used to. Hogwash. That's not going to work. Well, God, I would have stayed faithful, but you know, my spouse, they just didn't encourage me like they should have. Sorry, not going to work. Are y'all listening to me? Is anybody here? It's not going to work. It's going to be you and God like this, okay? You and him, and you're going to answer, and you're not going to make anything up, and it's going to be the truth. Which do you want it to be? You're going to go to heaven because of Jesus, not because of you. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're going to heaven. But wouldn't you like to have a good time when you get there? Would you like to be happy and feel like you tried your best? How many of you'd like that? I would too. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some scripture. Do you have 2 Corinthians 11:23? Who has that? Good. What's your name, brother? I like your blue shirt. Do you like to read in public? Do you like to read in public? Good. Today you get to do something you don't really like to do. Would you stand, please? Can you read these verses for us, brother? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and four more verses through 27. Two more.
In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness.
Let's pray. Thank you, sir. Father, thank you so much for our time to be together today, and thank you for the scripture. Lord, we sure do appreciate the opportunity to gather together. We take it not lightly. We do not take it for granted. I ask you, Lord, to pour out your spirit, put a hedge of protection around us. Bless those that are watching on the internet and the live stream, and I pray that you will meet their needs as well as though they were here with us in this meeting. God, I pray you'll bless the pastor, his family, Brother Luca, Lord, I pray you'll bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Thank you for the new Willis baby that's come. I pray that you'll help them and grant them peace and security, and pray that you'll protect them. Lord, I just pray that you'll protect all the ministries of this church, all the missionaries they support, all the things they do. And Lord, I pray that you'll consider keeping us whole. I pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord. Today I think about as our president, though he's not a spiritual man, I believe he's a leader you gave us. He has asked that we have a day of prayer today, a national day of prayer. So, Lord, I'm asking you to honor that. I pray that many people will pray to you today, and I pray that you will answer our request. I pray that you will consider humbly that our nation has 4% of the population of the world, and we have 96% of all gospel, all Bible, all ministries, all churches, gospel, Bible preaching. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to bless us as your children. I know our country is not a Christian country. It's not a godly country as far as the majority of the people. But we had a lot of people here that love you, Lord, a lot of people that go to church, a lot of people that sing your praises and worship you. And I pray, Lord, that you would protect us, help us trust you. I pray that you will bless our president and give him your wisdom, help him make wise decisions. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be joined together as a body of believers in this church today to give you praise and honor for everything you do. Bless the scriptures to our spirits today. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. I thank you for taking time to read the scripture. I want you to notice that Paul got back up every time. And the Romans figured out that on the average, when they beat and whip somebody, the 40th time was when they averaged dying. So they made it a basis of a consistency to give people 39 stripes if they wanted to, as we say, beat them half to death. The 39th stripe, they usually lived. The 40th, they would average die. So Paul had 39 stripes five times. You know, once would kind of knock me out of the running. You know, probably the second or third whip, I'd be like, I give up, okay. 39, and that happened five times. So he's just barely alive. Shipwrecked, the Bible says one time, a whole day and a whole night. He was shipwrecked three times. You floated in the water for a whole night and a whole day ever before? It's a rough thing. I've not done it. And then and my least favorites, hungry and thirsty. I'm not a fan. But Paul went through all of this. And the Bible also has Paul saying, none of these things moved me. Neither counted I my life dear. Well, no wonder he didn't quit. He wasn't worried about himself. I give you a premise by way of introduction. If you are worried about yourself, you will quit when things get rough. You just will. Because if something doesn't go right for you, then you'll stop. You won't be faithful. You won't endure to the end. And the Bible says, he that endure to the end shall be saved. That's not talking about your eternal spirit, your salvation. That's talking about you being saved, as in your testimony, and you living right and reaping your full rewards. You know, the Bible says plainly in the end of the book of Hebrews chapter 12, who have not yet received their reward. Your life's not over when you die. There's a man named Herbert Shepherd that was preaching and pastoring a church in Pensacola, Florida in 1969, Calvary Baptist Church, and that's where this little boy got saved. And he's still getting benefits from what the Lord allows me to do because of him preaching and winning me to Christ. Amen. He's been gone a long time. He was a World War II airplane mechanic from Mississippi, came over to Pensacola and met a girl there that was a Pensacola girl, invited him to church, and he got saved. Then he became my pastor later when I was a little kid. Look, the things that you do now do not stop just because you leave this earth. That's why it's important to keep doing right until you're all done and it's time to go. There's no reason to quit. Why could people not stop Paul? Number one, he knew going in that he would suffer. Do you realize you're going to suffer? In other words, the hardships, these hardships I just spoke to you about and he read for us, they didn't come as a surprise. Do you folks remember that the Apostle Paul killed Christians like every day or two for a living with permission? And then when God called Barnabas to get vouched for him, and Barnabas said, Lord, are you sure? Okay, yes, okay. I'm sending Paul to you. And he took the blinders off, the scales off his eyes. You know, just like you and I would, some of those Christians are like, yeah, I don't know, man. He might just be trying to get in our group so he can see who claims Christ so he can get rid of us. There'd be a little hesitation, don't you think? That's why the Apostle Paul knew there was going to be some hardships. From the outset of his ministry, he knew that these sufferings came with the job. This is just what Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 24, 9 and 10. That's what Jesus preached in Luke 6, 22. And Acts 9, 15 and 16, you're going to suffer. Can I put it to you this way? You're in the world, but not of the world. You're just passing through. This too shall pass. It would be a wise thing for you and I to decide not to take things so seriously down here and on this earth, because you're not going to be here very long. But you're going to be with Jesus for all of eternity. Put a priority on what's important. Number two, Paul did not count his life dear unto him. Acts 20, verse 22 through 24. Who can read that for me? Brother Willis, can you read that for me? Acts 20. Verse 22 and 24. When you got it, stand up and read, please. Acts 20, verse 22, 3 and 4.
And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, saying that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Thank you. Let me tell you this statement. Paul forsook his own life. You know the famous verse, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He really meant that. You know what that means? I'm here now, but if I die, it's going to be even better. And you and I have the mentality that we have to take care of ourselves, take care of our bodies, take care of our money, take care of our garage, take care of our toys and everything else, and make sure we have more than the guy next to us, or we're just going to be in a terrible mess. But the honest truth is, if you leave this life, you are much more better off than while you're here. You're going to gain something. He didn't count his life dear unto him. How can you stop a man who sees death as a gain? Do you ever wonder why you hear stories about missionaries and they're all over the world, and you hear stories about God protects them and these things happen, just like I've told you about when I was in Morocco and the fellas I was there with, the family, the little kids, 2 weeks after I left, they got arrested and they've had to leave the country. You think, wow, that's amazing. It's not that amazing when you realize you're trying to do something for God and you're under His protection and He takes care of you, and whatever He wants you to do, if you're willing to do it, then He's always going to take care of you. It's this stuff like when you decide to be Jonah and hightail it in the other direction, where God has to say, I wish you hadn't done that. I'm going to have a big old fish whale come up there and eat you up for a few days now. It's going to be uncomfortable. But Brother Stan, so how come everything can't just be smooth and fine? Because you're in the world. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil's running to and fro, doing what he wants to, until that time that heaven and earth shall pass away, and a new heaven and earth, and God shall be a righteous judge, and you'll have a millennium, and you're going to have Jesus Christ ruling with a rod of iron. That's when everything's going to be okay. For now, it's not there yet. I just wish everything would work out. It is for God. All things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? I just can't take the trials. Okay, why don't you just wear a sandwich sign on your front and back that says, I'm an unspiritual Christian. I don't trust Jesus with my life. Oh, Brother Stancil, that's pretty harsh. So's the world. The power of Christ's resurrection, according to Philippians 3:10, is able to keep us pressing toward the mark. Look, this is not a work salvation. This is not a Catholic church. It's not a Hindu pagan temple. You don't have to work and do good works and guess. And if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's all done. And if you could remember this, what happens after that is you and I have the privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He lets us stay here and lets us serve him while he takes care of us, and we get to tell others about Jesus and help bring them into the kingdom of Christ. It's a great, sweet deal. If you would just do it. You want everything just to be happy. You want your bank account to be full. You want a new car in the garage. You remind me of, what's that guy's name? Oh, it's getting old now. I'm really getting old showing this. L.A. riots, Rodney King. Can we all just get along? No, we can't. No, I'm sorry, we can't. Because I see people all the time. I have people try to invite me to go speak at some crazy affair with clerics and want me to get up and hug on and preach with people that don't believe Jesus is virgin born and don't believe you get to heaven by the grace of God. I'm sorry, no deal. I'm not going. I can't get along. I'm not going to slit their tires or beat them up, but I can't get along. I'm not going to sit down and eat with them and act like la, 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 the Smurfs episode, you know, la, 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 this is fun. Yeah, it's not fun. Jesus Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to conquer death and hell and sin. And he's already done a portion of that so that you could go to heaven when you die. Ought to make you keep going. Ought to make you not stop if you're listening to me. Number three, the Apostle Paul was content. No, I'm going to skip one, but I changed my mind. He was strengthened by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. Brother Willis, can you read that for me? 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. And I didn't pick him because you did a bad job, brother. I always have to worry about people getting offended when I do stuff. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul is speaking. I am what I am, yet not I, but by the grace of God, I labored more abundantly than they all. Which is it? It's both. The Apostle Paul was what he was by the grace of God, but he had to decide he was going to fight and give it all. Let the words, and by the way, don't get tricked and duped on this. Oh, I think Paul was thinking, Paul didn't do anything. These words were written before the foundation of the world. They were settled, all done, and then God made Paul to fit the words. Amen? Wow, the weakest amen I've heard in a month. Amen, Brother Chris. Amen. That's right. I just had to hear a good amen. We're strengthened by the grace of God. Do you know the same thing is true in your life? And I want to say this to you. According to Proverbs 24:10, the Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Which is it? I can do all things or through Christ? It's both. You can't just sit on your couch and expect God to work in your life and do things with your life and give you a ministry that counts for God and let you help people and win people to Christ and support missionaries and get those John and Romans out. You can't do that sitting on your couch and say, I'm just trusting God to work in my life. You can trust God, but then you have to get up off your backside and start moving and do something for God.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, you are going to be sad when you look him in the eyes one day, if you don't get busy and do some things for him. The adversaries of Paul were not tougher than the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 12:7. He found pleasure. Man, this is hard for me to talk about these verses. He found pleasure in persecutions. He found pleasure in reproaches. He found pleasure in necessities and distresses and in his infirmities. For crying out loud, I do not find pleasure in any of those things. It's tough. That's what I'm supposed to do according to the Bible, and I'm trying, but that's tough. But I want to tell you something. If you find pleasure when God puts you through infirmities and distresses, you cannot be stopped. You're not going to be somebody that one of you think about if somebody comes in a year and asks you the same question I did. They're not going to think of you as someone who used to be faithful to church. Amen. You can't stop a man strengthened by the grace of God who finds pleasure in suffering. God, thank you for putting me through this. It's hard to stop that guy. Are you hearing me? Next, he was content in whatsoever state he was in. Philippians 4:11-12. He had to learn this. God taught him this. Paul was instructed, and he knew how to be content. And that doesn't mean whether you're in Virginia like I was yesterday, whatsoever state you're in, it's condition. You know that. Whatsoever condition you're in, we use the word status. What's your state? What's your status? What's your condition? So you decide whatever condition you're in. I took a long drive. I've been to a lot of countries. A lot of you have. I've been to, I think, 58 now. I've been to places where they didn't have very nice food. I'm a fan of food. I like food. There's a lot of good things in the Bible about God providing your food. I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, but there's going to be a good plate of vegetables at the end of the run there. God provides. That's a biblical principle. Not seen as righteous begging for bread. Okay, good. God's going to feed you. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along, and he sends food. What about when you don't have enough food? I know I don't look like it, but I've been there many times. Not had money for groceries or been somewhere else where they didn't have clean, good food. Still got to be content. What if you got family fighting all the time? What if somebody's unsaved? What if somebody's an unspiritual Christian? What if somebody fights you when you want to come to church? You're supposed to be content then? Whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And I'm going to tell you something. If you learn to be content, no matter what you go through, no matter how the guy at work tries to get you fired, no matter how stupid and ruthless your neighbors are, and dumb things they accuse you of and everything, whatever. If you decide to be content in whatsoever state you are in, you will never be stopped. Because it won't matter. Whatever you're going through. My son was voted in as a pastor of Mountain View Baptist Church in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Actually, outside of Asheville, outside of Hendersonville, outside of Zirconia, in a place called Tuxedo, North Carolina. It's not even a village. Mountain View Baptist Church, he was voted in 125-2 4 weeks ago he started. You know what he did this morning? Little mountain church, just as beautiful as it can be. The builders in the church, they built a pretty little building. Run 160-70, it's amazing. He's standing up at the pulpit with an empty building and preached on a live stream Facebook thing today because the North Carolina governor said nobody over 100. And they're trying to obey that, trying to obey the laws of the land, the wishes of their governor. You get a balance, but they didn't stop. They're all watching the service. They're all still giving. Hint, hint. OK? case you're not able to have services sometime soon, you still got to pay all the bills and support all your missionaries, like your pastor alluded to. Amen to that. Content whatever state you're in. Hebrews 13:56, godliness 13:5-6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The Apostle Paul knew the Lord was with him and the Lord would help him. He had no reason to fear what men might do to him. You can't stop a man who is content in the hardships he endures for the Lord. That's why I personally love missionaries so much. I'm just saying in general, just because I'm getting old, I worked hard for this hair, and I'm saying I know a lot of missionaries who've gone through a lot of stuff, and they keep going. Even if they don't hear from home, even if people drop them, even if they have people arresting them in a foreign country, they keep going. And I like it. I like the fact that they won't be stopped by something silly like McDonald's ran out of ketchup with your fries. No offense. Well, I can see the three of you by your face that happened to you recently, and you're just not over it yet. But it's a horrible life, isn't it? I had the privilege to be in Tunisia, and it's so exciting. And I'm only going to be about 5 more minutes, so don't start thinking I'm going to go on all day. I'm going to get hungry any second, and I'll be done. We're doing a very exciting thing. We started MorningstarMorocco.com, which you can look at. And it has the gospel, Bible studies, Unshackled broadcast in Arabic and French and English, has hundreds of broadcasts. And there have been 39,000 different devices in Morocco that have accessed this new website radio station. There have been 50 that have sent in to a fellow named Marwan, that's a Moroccan believer, that we are paying there, who's taking in all of the communications, people asking for Bibles. 50 that have said, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's not just a prophet to me anymore. I've listened to your broadcast. What do I do now? I am not a Muslim anymore. I have converted to Christianity. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a big deal. Okay. Amen, Brother Chris. Amen. That's right. It's a big deal. It's a big fat deal. These people have no gospel. They think America's Satan, anti-everything. When they get to hear the truth, it's a big deal. And we're trying to start one in Tunisia, MorningstarTunisia.com. Morning Star fit Morocco because it's a star on their flag, but we're using the same thing, Morning Star plus the star that Jesus is, the bright morning star. And we're going to have the same thing on there in Arabic, and they're also French because they were a French protectorate like Morocco was, and the 40-year-old people speak French. And so they'll be getting the gospel by the thousands. Takes about $3,000 a month to run the thing, to pay somebody a little bit in Tunisia. Brother Bill Flowers was just there and came home 3 days ago. The fellow I'm working with and I was there in December. We already have a fellow. There's the church. And it's not just throwing the gospel out. Both places, there's a Bible preaching church with a trained pastor that's able to take these people and bring them in and disciple them and teach them and help it go on and on. It's thrilling. And I'm just being blunt with you. I'm right now trying to raise the $3,000 a month so we can start the Tunisia. As soon as we have enough money to get it going, we're ready to start it. We put it through servers in England, and the government can't touch it. It can't be stopped. It's encrypted, and people are allowed. Let me tell you, people that are hungry, that are Muslims, that want the truth, they're not going to go knock on anybody's door. They're not going to let anything be known public, but they'll put earbuds on. In Tunisia, I watched a guy, we put a sticker up, watched him take the phone and click the QR code because he was interested in hearing eternity. You know what? You know what everybody does that does that? They tell at least one best friend. You got some good news to share. Hey, look what I found. That's why there's been 39,000 in Morocco so far. So you please pray with me. If you know somebody that would like to help support a very, very fruitful, solid ministry incorporated with a local New Testament Baptist church to get the gospel out, any amount of money somebody wanted to help per month, I'll use it for that. So help me pray that God would bring it somebody. I want to get it started sooner than later. When I was in Tunisia, I had a little bit of chest pain. I had to stop a little bit, dragging some of my 500 pounds of luggage up a hill. 4 days after I got back from being in North Africa, went to North Crest Hospital. They said, wow, this is serious. You have a lot of blockage. Short version of the story, did a heart catheterization, said, you have too much blockage. We can't take care of it. You have to go down to Centennial. Some of you probably know is a major regional heart hospital. The Centennial Cardiac Unit downtown Nashville had to take an ambulance and go down there. Another big shot doctor, but more also some more sophisticated equipment. Had to have another heart cath. But before I could have it, I'm laying there in the cardiac ICU intensive care unit in one of the best hospitals for heart in America, and I decide to have a heart attack. Whatever you've had or you've heard, I was just dying. I don't know how else to explain it. I was just passing through. I was just, just draining. My heartbeat went down to the high 20s, which is not good. Blood pressure went down under 100. Fortunately, I was already hooked up, so they knew it and they started doing stuff. I couldn't even say anything. Do you want to know how good God is? Do you want to know why you should keep serving Him? 4 days earlier, I was on the continent of Africa, on the north coast, in a very dirty, not very clean, helpful place. Nothing against those people. And instead of flying home through Air France and Paris and to Detroit and then Nashville, I would have come home in a body bag. 4 days. But God allowed me to come home. How many people have a heart attack while they're sitting in the hospital hooked up to the heart units? Are you kidding me? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not at full strength. I'm behind. I missed a month. Doctor tells me the most I should do is 70-75%, which means not to have one meeting every month, which I can't do. Keep up with the bills and stuff, and plus my desire for the ministry. I'm not allowed to go overseas yet. 6 to 8 months, maybe. I'm already planning a trip, Lord willing. But $250,000 in medical bills were paid by my insurance company. Amen. I have $12,000 left I have to come up with. I didn't have any emergency funds or savings, and I don't get paid when I don't do this. So how am I going to come up with that? I don't know. Were you worried about it? I got to be honest with you. I'm really not. I'm not lying to you. Because if God keep me from having a heart attack and bring me home and do all that, what's $12,000 to Him? Seriously. I mean, He's got it. I don't know. He's going to use some Christians to help, encourage me, keep going. I don't know. I have no idea where, how. But I'm not going to quit because of that. I've had somebody tell me, Brother Stanza, you need to quit doing what you're doing. You need to just get a regular job and get a regular salary so you can pay the bills and not travel and so you can get these medical bills paid down. That's not in my cards, as the world would say. That's not in my future. I don't see the Lord telling me to do that right now. Look, I'm just trying to encourage you. There's no need to stop. If the Apostle Paul didn't stop, he was certain of the glory that awaited him. This is my last point. I'll be done in a minute. Romans 8, 17 and 18. He knew that the glory that followed was far greater than the sufferings of this present time. Do you realize that? What's coming after this is a lot better than the worst of the bad here. However bad it gets here, it's not to be compared to how good it's going to be there. This is how Jesus endured the cross. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. That's what the Bible says. He endured, seeing Him who was invisible. When Paul considered Him, he could endure weariness without fainting in his mind. He knew that if it was not weary in well-doing, he would reap. Galatians 6, 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired. Don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not, if you don't quit. For I reckon, Romans 8, 17, I reckon, listen to this. This is the greatest thing you're going to hear all day. For I reckon that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is set before us. Amen. There's nothing down here. Nothing. Nothing down here that is even worth being reckoned compared to what's coming one day. Look, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, you need to get to know Him. I've been working with someone that's from Russia, the Chinese, try to figure that accent out. It's tough. They teach music at a church I preached at near Rochester, Newark, New York. They will not listen to the gospel because they're worried about religion, religion, religion. It's not religion. It's a relationship. All religion is garbage. What it is a relationship with a God-man, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. What would it take to stop you?